Do we really believe that it's the Father's heart to prosper us? We should. We should believe that. But we have to understand that where we started several weeks ago in dealing with the principles of sowing and reaping, is really to get us to understand our life a little bit better. And God really wants us to really pay attention to what's going on in our lives. Because everything in our lives matters to Him. And it matters in so much in that He wants to be used by you to release Him to do His work through you. So we looked at that, at the four basic principles, and then we went into the warfare of the sower. And I encourage you to look at the parable, because it's really true. It's not just on people hearing the word. It's everyone hearing the word, and why certain people are able to catch that word, hold on to that word, and apply it into their lives more so than other people. And Satan's plan is really there. Last week, Gary gave a really excellent message about the life of the seed and how when it grows and matures, it produces an abundance. It produces a harvest in which we give a tenth back to the Lord. And also, we become grounded up in such a way that we become food for other people, that they actually feed off our lives. And so it was an excellent message last week that deals with our lives individually and corporately. But again, I want to emphasize, God wants to increase us, not just in our finances, but in every aspect of our life. He wants to increase the amount of fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in your life. He wants to increase His love in relationships, especially in marriages, and in family. He wants that to increase so that those who see what's going on in our lives will become thirsty. They will want that. They will begin to ask questions about how this is happening. He wants to increase the harvest. As we're dealing with people, we're inviting them not to just come to streams, but come into a relationship with the living God who died for them. And streams is just one place. I used to be of the thing that I'm going to love people and I'm going to direct them to go wherever they want to go. Well, I've long since become biased. I really think that what God's doing here is going to be better than anything else that other churches offer. Why? Because I believe that they will find family, they will find love, and they will find acceptance and security in that acceptance for who they are, not what they can provide. That's up to God to deal with that. But if we believe that God truly wants to bless us, there is one thing that will start that blessing happening, and that is to love God supremely. Love Him so much that it doesn't matter what we have to go through. It doesn't matter what we have to sacrifice. It doesn't even matter the hardships that we've had to go through. And all of us have had things we've had to go through that's very tough in our lives. And I don't want to minimize those things, but I want us to get to a place that the Father's heart is that you not stay there and pine the rest of your life. The Father's heart is to envelop you, encourage you, lift you up, and take you to bless your life in everything that you do, in spite of what we have to go through. If we would turn to Deuteronomy 6, I need to lay a foundation. And in this foundation, there's going to be three things that we have to understand that will prepare our hearts to become sowers. And that is, we have to decide who we're going to work for. We're also going to have to determine whether we're going to pass the test that God has for us. And then we have to also simultaneously consider what we're doing so that God can begin to minister to us. We repent, change those things, and begin to get on the flow of the Spirit in which He really wants to bless us. It says here in Deuteronomy 6, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, or our promised lands. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged." First thing is, God is a generational God. He doesn't want to just bless us. He wants to bless our posterity. And if you can grab that vision, then you will understand that it is a progressive stance that we're learning. It is a progressive revelation of God and who He is. Because as we go into the next one, Deuteronomy 8, he says, "Remember every road that God led you on for those 40 years in the wilderness, pushing you to your limits, testing you that you would know what you were made of, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He put you through hard times. He made you go hungry. Then He fed you with the manna, something neither you nor your parents knew and anything about, so that you would learn that men and women don't live by the bread alone, but live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister those 40 years. Verse 18. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so that as to confirm the covenant that He promised to you, your ancestors, and as it is today. It is God who gives us increase. It is God who sees our faithfulness in little things and begins to bless us. Many people in this testing time, we call that the wilderness experience. God tested us and tested Israel when they were going through the wilderness. Why? Because He wanted to see what exactly was in your heart. Or were you just paying Him lip service? And what God does is He tests us to see if it's true or not true. Or are we going to obey Him or not obey Him? And not only does He want to test us to find out where we're at, He wants to test us so that we don't forget that it is He who gives us increase. Because there will be times where people will gather this increase and they will separate themselves from God and start saying, "Well, look what I've done. Check me out. Look at all the riches I have." When really it's God. And God's heart is to bless you so much that you can't contain the blessing, that you are forced to have to give it away. If you believe that, then I want to lead you in a little prayer, because this little prayer is going to be the central element of your life from this day forward in order to develop a sower's heart. If you're with me, say this: Lord, I don't care what I have in this world. I'm on my way to heaven. I am a pilgrim passing through this life. And what you give to me, I will use as a steward for you. I will not hold on to it nor grasp onto it. For it will make me proud and try to lift me up to exalt myself over my fellow man. Rather, I am willing to be a channel of blessing for your glory. For your glory. Amen. If that is in your heart and you really want to be that channel of blessing from this point forward, it is critical that we examine the next three steps in order to happen. Because where we go the next time we get together, I'm going to begin to break down the acronym of sower so that we each see what God requires of us, because He Himself does this. He is this. Amen? All right, let's turn to Exodus 5, 1 and 2. And it said, after that, Moses and Aaron approached Pharaoh. They said, God, the God of Israel, says, free my people so that they can hold a festival for me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, and who is God that I should listen to him and send Israel off? I know nothing of this so-called God, and I'm certainly not going to send Israel off. The first thing that you have to determine is, who do you work for? Who's your employer? Who do you work for, Tony? Ken. Nolan. Mike. Dan. Michael. If that is true, then your rest of your life has to reflect that that's who you who work for. You see, Pharaoh, Satan, wants us to believe that we still work for him. And because he wants us to acknowledge that, he wants to impose his will upon us. God hears our cries, and he hears about our lack. Satan revels in when we whine and complain about our lives. He really does. Because he knows that what he's doing to oppress the people of God is working. But God hears too. If we work for the Lord, then we must settle in our hearts that no matter what comes our way, God is in control. Can we all agree with that? The thing is that God wants to deliver us from a mindset of poverty, of lack, of pain. And he has. If you're with me and understand, he did all that at the cross. And when I say it's a progressive revelation, as the cross works into our lives, we begin to see that God has been working to deliver us from that mindset. Many of you I've spoken to, and I've said, well, you know, what's going on? And I get a litany of excuses. And I've said to you guys, I said, I don't want to hear that, because you're just telling me what you can't. Tell me what you can, and God will start right there. What can you do? What is it that you're willing to do for God so that he can begin to bless your life, bless your children's life, bless your grandchildren's life, bless your great-great-great children's life to go on from here? You see, he sees the end. We don't. We see now. But God is not limited to time and space. He sees our now, and he wants to bring us to the future that he has already prescribed for us. The fact is that Satan wants to keep us thinking that we're in bondage, wants to keep us thinking that we don't have enough, wants to keep us thinking that all our lives is filled with dreary and pain, and God is the God of abundance. We have to really believe, and I'm not just saying this, we have to really believe that there's no scarcity in God. You can't exhaust him or his resources. And it takes faith to begin to understand this. We just need a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross so that we can become the sowers, because it really doesn't matter. We're not going to take anything from this world to the next. So we have to come to a place, like the Father has said, these are just tools for us in order to win the lost. The job is to win the loss. And what we sow into their lives. Yesterday we sowed some good seed into five families. And that's because you guys are catching in a small way the vision. You're willing to sacrifice a little to help someone who is in tremendous need. God fulfills the vision, His vision, through His people or the church. We're the only bastion that God has on this planet in order to do His will. And so we have to understand that God wants us to be successful. He wants to keep perpetuating it to the next generation. And He wants to bring us to the finish line. He wants to bring us to the finish line. So that, in my prayer is, I hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Is that your heart? Should be. When we first believed that Jesus Christ is God, and we received Him, we changed teams. We changed jobs. We changed who was going to tell us what to do. But some of us are still living like the devil tells us what to do. I'll give you an example of it. Many years ago, as I was starting to live this, I was working overtime, and I was working overtime like crazy. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Do you realize what you're sacrificing?" And I didn't understand the question. So, of course, I glibly said, "Well, you're providing me with overtime to make extra money to pay the bills." And He said, "You're putting your children's relationship with you on the altar. Are you willing to pay for that?" And I really had to stop and think. There is a time when God blesses us, but then it becomes a time that we allow that blessing to rule our lives, and it's not God. And we have to consider that. From that moment on, I didn't work overtime. They'd ask me, we'll say it was a Tuesday, and it sticks out in my mind, there was a after school event that Jess was involved in. And I mean, I attended my son's football games and all the things that he did in high school. But with Jess, she had this after school thing, and it was an awards thing. And I had come home, and she had said, "Oh, Dad, I'm so glad that you're home, you know." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to go to this banquet. I want to be there with you." I said, "You know, are you going to get any awards?" And she said, "No," because she's an average student, and it's fine with us as long as she's comfortable in her own skin. Well, the beauty of it was that they offered a trophy to a child who wasn't the smartest, wasn't the brightest, wasn't the quickest, wasn't the most athletic, but was steadfast doing what she was supposed to do, or he was supposed to do. And that award went to Jess. And I was so thankful. Here I am. I could have gotten caught up in the overtime and missed this. When the important thing is, do I really trust God? Because if I had missed that, I wouldn't have gotten a second chance. I wouldn't have had, "Well, wait a minute, guys, you know, let's have this awards thing so I can be there." You have to stop and think. And a lot of you are doing this already with your kids, and praise God, you got it and it's implemented. But some of us are not. Some of us need to be encouraged that money isn't everything. Money, yes, pays the bills, but as the Lord said to me, what was I willing to sacrifice the relationship for? The relationship with my child and my family is priceless, as it should be with yours. That's how much God cares about the relationship that you are developing with Him. Amen? And so, we have to understand that Satan provides the lack. We never seem to have enough. We are in constant need, and we're living in an oppressive lifestyle, and the curses that affect future generations. Yes, if you're not succeeding, you could be under a curse. They are real. And only God can deliver from that as we trust Him and devote ourselves to what He says. God provides us with life, liberty, and abundance in blessings. Now these blessings can manifest in our finances, can manifest in our character development, can be resistant to sickness in our homes. It could be a myriad of things. We can't just think about the blessings being a financial thing. And what I've learned was when I committed my whole family to Jesus Christ, Satan was bent out of shape, and a flood of all kinds of things began to come onto my life. God was testing me to see if I would stand there in the midst. When you know you've done all that you can do, stand. We stood believing God. We held on to a scripture believing God would take care of our needs. And He has, to a point of, I feel that I'm a very prosperous person. I feel that God has been faithful to the end, to where we are today. I believe that we were honored Him by putting in order to follow the Lord's instruction. It required our obedience to be that which God wants to bless us with. Second order of business is, you've already determined who you're working for, is, will I pass the time of testing? As we see back, God was testing us to see what was in our heart. God's testing you in your heart. Even at this moment, you have a lack in the physical realm that you have need. God sees that need. He wants to meet that need. What are you willing to do to allow God to bring that need into reality? You see, a lot of times what happens is we make decisions without considering God. We let our circumstances and situations dictate to us, and we don't consider what the Father wants us to do or how He wants us to do. And then when we make that decision and we go into those things, a lot of times they don't work out the way we thought. There's more work that has to be done after the fact than if we had just listened to Him and done it what He told us to do. He says obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of times we sacrifice certain things and relationships and stuff at the expense of our relationship to God. And the Father's heart, I want to convey to you, is He wants to bless you abundantly, richly, to overflowing. Just like, you know, He wants us to really become dependent upon the Holy Spirit. How many of us really think that the Holy Spirit is listening to us? Or He's even in the room with us? Or that we fail to understand that He dwells in us? It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of really beginning to allow God to work in our lives. I'm not minimizing the hurt. I'm not minimizing the pain that each and every one of us had gone through. The hardest thing for me in recent years was to conduct a funeral service for my sister-in-law. And some of you were there. It was the hardest thing I had ever been asked to do. But I can imagine the Father's heart when he asked Christ, Jesus, to go to the cross. My struggle with that is incomparable to what Jesus went through on the cross for me and for you, to demonstrate to us the Father's heart and how much he wants to lay out blessings upon our lives. The question I want to ask you is, do we remain humble and give God the glory for what he has given to us? Do we have a heart of thanksgiving? Do we really ponder what God has done to steer us, to bring us off the wide path and bring us into the narrow path so that we would meet good success and prosperity? Or have we been so busy trying to make things happen in our lives, and the more we try to make things happen in our lives, the worse the situation becomes? And the first real test that I know that God does is he tests us with the most spiritual thing, money. Money. Jesus said, faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. And so, the little thing, money, if we prove ourselves faithful in this, God will enormously bless us. Again, I want to emphasize that there is no scarcity in God. But he wants to bless us according to his word. That's why we need to understand it, that we as men and women live by the word of God, not by just bread alone. I had a conversation with an individual Friday afternoon who was telling me the things I should be doing as a pastor. And I'm just sitting there, it's okay. You see, I don't work for that person. I work for God. And I do what the boss or the king says to do. And so I just said to that person, I said, it's really great. I said, you know, that you see all these things I should be doing, but never once have you told me how you're going to help me. Well, I'm not here to help you. You better check your scriptures again. One hurts, they all hurt. If one succeeds, we all succeed. It really shook that person enough to really re-examine the scriptures, because, you know, people think that they know better than God in whatever circumstances it may be. But we have to understand, if we do it God's way, because he's given us power, he's anointed us to create wealth, to establish his covenant and bless the nations. That's a real reason why God wants to bless. He wants to reach the nations. He wants us to begin to finance his vision. So much so that we should become good stewards, because we want to know how to properly budget our lives, not just certain areas. Budget our lives in such a way that it represents our Father, it glorifies him, and we become recipients of his love and his blessings, so that we can bless more and more people. I met with Dan later on Friday, and he was asking me a question. And some of you may have seen me wearing this bracelet. I'm constantly looking for vessels to invest into. I'm not just one who jumps on a bandwagon. I look to see. And this is another ministry. It's called Open Door Ministry. What it does is it funnels to meet the needs of the suffering church, wherever it is in the world. And this bracelet helps me identify with them. That because God has blessed me, I can give an offering to them. Not take from what the storehouse has, but I'm able to find other veins of blessings to bless these so that our brothers and sisters in other countries can be blessed. We have so much in this country that sometimes we don't think about those who are living in other countries or, you know, have dirt floors or food, medicine, clothing. And this ministry does that. It meets their basic human needs. And of course, there's projects of, having wells drilled so they can have clean drinking water. Do you understand that with global warming, much of the world is now starting to suffer from a drought and lack of water? And so they have to drill deeper and deeper for this water just to drink. And all we do is we turn a tap on. And I'm sharing that with you to show you that I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I'm looking to be a blessing to my brothers and sisters in other areas in the world. Deuteronomy 6 says, the next time your child asked you, what do these requirements and regulations and rules that God, our God, has commanded mean? Tell your child, we were slaves in Pharaoh's Egypt, and God powerfully intervened and got us out of that country. We stood there and watched as God delivered miracles, signs, great wonders, and evil visitations on Egypt, on Pharaoh and his household. He pulled us out of there so that he could bring us here and give us the land he so solemnly promised to our ancestors. That's why God commanded us to follow all these rules, so that we would live reverently before God, our God, as he gives us this good life, keeping us alive for a long time to come. It will be a set right and put together life for us if we make sure that we do this entire commandment in the presence of God, our God, just as he commanded us to do. In other words, in order for it to be generational, we have to remind not only ourselves but our children. Why do we do these things? Why do I tithe? Because God commands it. It's his. Why do I give offerings? Because God commands. I want people to see how God has blessed me, and I trust in him to meet my needs. You've all heard me quote Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I live that. I don't live for myself anymore. I live in such a way that if I can help, I'll help. If I can't, I can't. That's where Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't say you're going to do something and never do it. You have to understand that God is testing us. God wants to see what's ruling in our lives. Is money ruling our lives in such a way that we can't meet our own needs, let alone the needs of his house? Or are we meeting those needs and believing God is going to bless us, and he has, testifying to our faithfulness by some of us having increases and really bestowing blessings upon others. It is such a joy. I mean, yesterday it was such a joy. I was not part of the team, but I was here and we prayed, and it was such a joy to be a part of blessing someone else. It's more blessed to give. We may think about it in such a way that, yeah, it's temporary, but I want you to understand that's a step we're moving. I don't want us just to bless one day. I'm thinking you got to eat 364 more days of the year. So our next step, vision, is to adopt a family and help them. Help them in such a way that we're going to be there. We're going to show the love of Jesus Christ. How that's going to happen, I have no idea. I really don't. God hasn't spoken to me about that, but he has spoken to me that that's his desire. And so, if that's his desire, that's my desire, it should be the church's, and we should look in such a way to be a blessing to a family. Amen? We need to instruct our kids. This is why we're doing this. We're doing it because the Lord commanded us, but also in his commandment, there are blessings that come with that. And the Father's heart is he's not condemning us. He wants to get us situated in such a way that we see what we're doing and we see the goal and we move to the goal. And so there's mercy, there's grace that comes with us moving to the goal. Because once we get to the goal, that should be part of our life already. You know, and some of you are doing really well. I want to encourage you to stay the course. You're going to be tried. The enemy hates it. He hates it when the people of God come together, bless other people, and God blesses his people on top of it. He hates it. He hates you and he hates me. But I just say, tough. Live with it. We're going to continue on. And thirdly, we need to consider our ways. Haggai says, remember every road that God... Okay. Forget about the roads. A message from God of the angel armies. The people procrastinate. They say that this isn't the right time to rebuild the temple of God. Shortly after that, God said more, and Haggai spoke it. How is it that it's the right time for you to live in your fine new homes while the home, God's temple, is in ruins? And then a little later, God of the angel army spoke again. Take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. You have spent a lot of money, but you haven't much to show for it. You keep filling your plates, but you never get filled up. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking, but you're always thirsty. You put on a layer after layer of clothes, but you can't get warm. And the people who work for you, what are they getting out of it? Not much. A leaky, rusted out bucket, that's why God of the angel army said, take a good hard look at your life. Think it over. The exhortation is to not to examine your life in a critical way, but to examine your life and look at areas in which the world has crept in to keep you from attaining blessings that God has for you. It's to look at what the Father wants to do in your life and how we, by our natural proclivities, resist that. Because let's face it, we all have things to do in our house. When I went away to Indiana, Irene had a list waiting for me. I can honestly say I didn't get to any of it. I'm playing catch up. But think about your life. Think about, do you consider God if you say that God, you work for God, then you should be considering how your life is not lining up, how the world has crept in, how Satan has tried to lie, steal, and cheat you into believing that you can have more when the reality is he's going to oppress you. He wants to keep you a slave to fallen thinking. He wants you to look at your needs first and only and not consider our brothers and sisters who are in need. For those of us who have lucrative jobs, I just want to caution that we not get caught up in how well we're doing, but get caught up in God, in how faithful we have been in his promotion to give us more. God wants to promote us if we love him supremely. We have two rules. Love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That means to love God supremely above everything. Your children, your job, your financial situation and all. And the second one is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. We at Streams are trying to cultivate this mindset of giving so that God can reach the nations. We saw last week that God spoke about Nolan being destined for the nations. And the girls all have unique gifts. Let's get behind what God wants to do. Because you see, you're not going to take any of this with you. First and foremost. You know, I've known people who tried to take their Cadillacs with them and got buried in their cars and stuff. I know that. We're to use the things that God has given to us, one as stewards, but also in a way that it moves. It moves the church forward to influence the world for Jesus Christ. Remaining humble, knowing that everything that we receive is God's. It's God's. And when we do not enlist His mind, His wisdom as to how to use this stuff, because that's all it is stuff. We're still cultivating that old mindset that it's mine. And that's where Satan really wants to do a job on us. You have been delivered from the poverty of this world and the pain-filled arrogance that's associated with that. He has anointed you for success. Every one of us have hiccups in our lives. Some more emotional and dramatic than others, but that no less a design that God has on your life for success. You may have failed right now, but He sees you complete as a complete success in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. I just want to exhort you that as we move forward in this, if we do it God's way, we will have more than enough for ourselves and our families and stuff. The lesson has to be learned from the gathering of the manna in which God instructed those who gathered much had no lack and were sufficient. Those who gathered little had nothing left over. In other words, it doesn't matter how much you gather, you're not going to have anything left over. So you might as well take it and give it away. Use it for God's glory in such a way that our hearts expand. The Holy Spirit can begin to put His vision into our lives and we can hear Daddy's heart for everything that He wants to do. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for this time. I thank You in conveying Your heart to Your people. I thank You, Lord, that Your desire is none of us have empty pockets. Some of us have tried to do things our way and, you know, there's holes in our pockets and we're still in great need. The more we work, the less we have. But I ask God that You help us get off this treadmill. Help us to begin to see and trust You, who is the author and finisher of our faith, to believe that what You said is really true. That all our needs are met. All our wants are met in You. Found only in Christ Jesus. So as we go from here today, may we first honor You by saying that we do work for You. And that we will pass the wilderness experiences of our life in such a way that You would receive the glory. And as we begin to receive these blessings and we begin to become prosperous, that we never fail to remember You and remain humble with a heart of thanksgiving, because you have tested us to prove us that we're faithful in little. And finally, God, that we would take time from our schedules, take time from all the activities, take time from life of this world, and begin to reflect where we are with you and where we are, period. Help us to understand that we no longer belong to the world system or to Satan, that you have bought us and we are yours. That you are the king and you want to instruct us according to your will. Help us, O God, to be obedient to what you're telling us to do, going for the goal and bringing us to the finish line as a success. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And amen.